I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I pushed my soul in a deep dark hole and then I followed it in. I watched myself crawling out as I was crawling in. I got up so tight I couldn't unwind. I saw so much I broke my mind. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
What a smart ass. Jeff Bennett here. Age of Darkness. Another Tuesday installment of Protecting Your Wealth. So Michael asked me what kind of opening music I want tonight. I have something economic, you know, blah, 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 blah. He and I talk every day. And, you know, most of you know what I've been going through health-wise, which is, for the most part, it's pretty good. A couple hours ago, I had no voice. I still don't feel like I've got much of a voice. Last couple of days have been weird. AC gave out the other night. I sleep in the coolest room in the house, so I was tolerable. My wife got up in the middle of the night. I heard her walking down the hall, stopped at the thing, and I said, don't bother. It's not working. Cost me a bunch of money to get that fixed yesterday. A problem I've expecting for a long time, but nobody would listen because what the hell could I possibly know? You know, there's the drainage pipe that comes out of the unit up in the attic that'll take excessive water and dump it outside. And I knew damn well this thing had not been cleaned in years. That's exactly what it turned out to be. So then, I'm outside last night, rainstorm, and the pool motor's not working. And I mentioned it to Michael this morning. He got a different Michael, my Michael here at home. He says, you got to be kidding me. He gets up and goes and checks things out. The motor may be out on it. Unbelievable. But the rains are so good. And then to open with this song, what condition my condition is in. I think it's funny. Well, let's get it on because there's a bunch to cover here. Been doing some interesting things over at Sierra Madre Precious Metals. And by the way, if over the next few days or maybe a week that you've got issues gaining access to any of the sites, don't be concerned about it. We're moving them all. I've had it. I was up for an hour and a half last night working on this guy with this guy, and all the sites are getting moved. This host, Blue Host, is the biggest bunch of garbage people I ever worked with in my life. Enough is enough. I'm walking away, getting away, et cetera, et cetera. And the process actually did begin sometime overnight last night, and we'll see what happens. But we've been doing some different things with the Double Eagle headlines that we've been posting at Sierra Madre Precious Metals. And I'm only doing a couple of them a week, but I keep adding to them and adding to them. And, you know, one of the pieces today, and they've got some great images, some maps, et cetera, et cetera. The number of homes listed for 30 days or more has now jumped 60% in some areas with a 12.5% national rise. The experts say it's now the buyers, not the sellers' markets after interest rate hike and soaring inflation. I still think it's somewhat of a seller's market in many respects. Number of homes staying up for sale for 30 days or longer rose by as high as 60% in some areas, 12.5% rise, blah, 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 blah. It gets very interesting. Increase is some 55% in Phoenix. Not quite sure what that means yet. About 61.2% of the homes listed for sale have stayed on the market for at least 30 days. That's up from 54.4% in July. Among the major cities where the most homes are staying in the market compared to last year were Oakland, Phoenix. But that's because we had a lot of people driving through here from California when they realized the houses they sold for, you know, a quarter to a half to $750,000 could be had for chump change over here. They paid cash and came over here and started voting the Democratic way. Austin, Texas, 50.9%. Fort Lauderdale, Florida was the only city that saw a decline. Buyers can now take their time making careful decisions about homes without worrying so much about bidding wars. Are they offering over the asking price, waiving contingencies, all this kind of nonsense? One more example of what we're facing in this country. Look, we all knew this was eventually going to happen. And mortgage rates are climbing like a son of a gun. We're going to talk about that in a short while. Another one of the charts we've got out deals with a $100 trillion global economy in a single chart. This is kind of an interesting one. Despite conflict and looming stagflation, the global economy is going to hit an impressive new milestone, reaching $104 trillion, according to the latest IMF projections for the end of the year. The U.S. has been the world's largest economy since 1871, but by 2030, it is expected that China's gross domestic product is projected to surpass that of the U.S. As of right now, we're sitting in the largest position of $25.3 trillion. What is that? Is that how much we owe? Or is that how much we spend? China's only $19.9 trillion. Japan at $4.9 trillion. You know, it goes on and on and on. But it's very interesting to look at this kind of stuff. Many of the world's smallest economies are located in the Oceania region, like Tuvalu, gross domestic product of just $66 million. Ireland is expected to be the fastest growing economy in the Eurozone with a 5.2% increase this year. Growth keeps trending upwards. The recovery that was expected in the post-pandemic period is looking strained. And because of these recent conflicts, supply chain bottlenecks, subsequent inflation, global economic projections are getting revised downwards. Oh, isn't that exciting? And of course, we all know that since last Tuesday when we met for economic discussion, the Democratic-controlled U.S. Sinet had passed the Biden-backed. This guy couldn't back his way into a toilet if he had to poop. Back the $740 billion Inflation Reduction Act. There was no Republican support, but thanks to Kamala Wanaswala, she cast the tie-breaking vote. Republicans have branded it a war on seniors. Simple terms. That was Senator Rick Scott of Florida that called it a war on seniors during an interview on CBS's News Face the Nation over the weekend. Claimed that it would raise Medicare costs. He says right now this bill actually ought to be called the War on Seniors Act. I mean, this is a war on Medicare. And if you look at all this, it's a $280 billion cut in Medicare. Oh, that's right. Who's been paying most of my health bills for the last 11 plus months? Oh, it's Medicare. I better get healthy real quick, or I'm liable to get it stuck to my left nostril here real quick. But the Democrats, of course, have proven over and over they simply don't care about middle-class families' priorities. They've spent the last 18 months, 18 years, the last 2.5 centuries proving that. And they just spent hundreds of billions of dollars to prove it again. And on top of all this, rural America is being slammed by inflation. Big time. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Let's see what else we got. Shakeout among mortgage lenders is coming. That, according to the CEO of a bank that left the business. Left the business? Yeah. These banks, these mortgage providers have been battered by plunging demand for loans this year. Consequences, the Federal Reserve's interest rate hikes. Some firms are going to be forced to exit the industry entirely as refinance activity dries up. That according to Tim Winnis, of the CEO of the U.S. division of Santander. He said, we are a first mover here, and others are now doing the same math, seeing what's happening with mortgage volumes. For many, especially the smaller institutions, the vast majority of mortgage volume is refinance activity, which is drying up and will likely drive a shakeout. I ain't touching it. Oh, here's another one of these big maps. This is the map that reveals that the American dream is over. Salary needed to buy the median U.S. home is now $76,000. May not sound like a lot, but it's simple, my friends. The typical family cannot even afford to buy a house in 35 of the country's 50 biggest cities. The median household income across the country stood at just $67,500, which would be enough to afford the typical home in only 15 of the cities on this list. Many of the more affordable cities were located in the Midwest. Pittsburgh ranked the most affordable. Median home price of just $185,700, which would require a salary of just $42,800 to afford monthly payments of $1,000. Boy, that's spooky stuff. I got an email from a listener the other day inviting me to seriously consider coming to Missouri. I had given some thought to this in the past. I've got some longtime listeners and friends, etc., who have actually taken that well into consideration. One knows that his days of working with a big country and a company in Texas are long over. He said the things that are happening are frankly appalling. So he's bought a place in Missouri. Getting out as fast as he can. There's some interesting areas back there. I've about had it with the desert, the invasion in this state. My wife and I came here in 1976. We left Illinois, I think, in some respects. I wanted to get away from certain issues in my family. All those issues are long gone now. My wife's mother had passed away. We've been here in Arizona 46 years now. Been married almost 52 years this coming October. So most of our life has been here. My wife worked here. She's retired here. She still works here. Substitute teaching. We have doctors, people that we trust here. Others that I could take them or leave them. We have one granddaughter that still lives here. Two granddaughters that still live here. I would not leave them. The third, the eldest one, actually now lives in Illinois, south of Chicago. And I hope that it works, goes well for her. I think it all happened too quickly. She's always been my biggest concern in life. Sad. Well, let me see what else we got going on. Hey, some of you sitting down having dinner right now? You know, my wife made something the other night that doesn't excite me. Cabbage. Stuffs it with a rice dish that she does that, oh, God damn it, had chicken in it. I'm so tired of chicken. I don't know what she does. None of the stuff is tender. She does something and it's all so tight, so stiff. I just don't get it. We all sit there and start looking at grocery prices. Americans are seeking ways to make ends meet. They're trying to discover all the alternatives to build healthy, affordable meals. They're telling us to buy rice at 92 cents a pound. Gee, how sickening. Don't buy spaghetti. That's $1.32 a pound. It's noodles. And it costs that much money now? They're telling us to buy pork chops at $4.47 a pound. Not sirloin at $10.72 a pound. Well, my wife got some phenomenal pork chops the other night. And pork chops are my favorite. And I took a small slice of one of the chops. And it was good, but it was tough as hell. I don't know what she keeps marinating this stuff in when there is no need to do it. Don't marinate it. Don't cut the fat off of it. It all serves a purpose. Pork chops are averaging about $4.47 a pound around the country. Sirloins at $10.72. They're telling us buy broccoli at $1.39 a pound, but don't get Brussels sprouts at $2.85 a pound. Oh, I got a recipe for Brussels sprouts that will drive you nuts, but I got a bad feeling I lost it. Oh, I loved it. When my buddies and I were over in California a few years ago, we went to the same place 2 years in a row, which we'd never done. One of my buddies, his brother, owned this house on the coast, on the ocean. And it was more of a country area, so, you know, the houses weren't all jammed up. It was really nice. And we found this so-called German restaurant in a little college town. I can't think of the name of the town right now. And we decided to walk in and get a snack. Fell in love with the place. The snack was better than most dinners you have. And we kept going back into town, going back to eat at this place. And the waitresses were all college students, but they were highly educated, intelligent gals. And this gal took care of us in a way like you have never seen. No, not like that. As a waitress, a server. I wound up writing a letter to the owner of the place and ensure that she received a copy of the letter. And these people had never, ever seen a letter like that before. Well, the second year we went back, she was no longer there, but she had some other people. Some sucked, some were good. Did another letter for some other folks. I don't think they're in business anymore. What an amazing place. Phenomenal German beers, superb German food. I went back to talk to the cook because I'd ordered something that sounded interesting to me. It was Brussels sprouts, done in a very special mixture, some butter, some brown sugar, some other stuff. Oh my God, I've never had anything so good in my life. And asked the guy if he'd give me the recipe, gladly wrote it down for me. I think I lost it years ago. Brussels sprouts are really good if they're cooked right. Well, strawberries are now running $2.57 a pound, blueberries $3.71. For some reason, my wife is going nuts buying blueberries lately. I prefer blackberries, but that's another story. Apples, gala apples, or gala apples, as it were. $1.05 a pound. Honey crisp apples at $2.53. I wouldn't know one of those from another. Oranges, navel oranges. I don't look at my navel. What the heck, you know. They want $1.49 a pound. Yellow nectarines at $2.33. You know, crazy thing is we're buying a fair amount of those. We're eating them. Cabbage, 74 cents a pound. Collard greens, $3 a pound. That's a 75% difference. Skinless chicken breasts for a so-called regular pack, whatever that is, at $3.36. But chicken breast tenders are $4.46 for a regular pack. Chicken tenders. That means that they've taken them off the bone. They've done some other stuff. Hey, you're paying a lot for that labor. Tomatoes, Roma tomatoes at $1.26. Vine ripened tomatoes at $2.73 a pound. White bread. You can get you some white bread for $1.60 a pound. Or you can get whole wheat for $2.20. You can get 100% ground beef at $4.70 a pound, or lean ground beef at $6.49. The only difference is the amount of fat that's still in it. Don't forget thin tomato sauce, 50 cents for an 8-ounce can, or you can get a pasta sauce at $2.99 per jar. Well, my wife buys really junky stuff. So, in other words, according to the latest inflation data, the price of groceries has risen 12.2% nationwide in June from a year ago. The quickest pace since April of 79. Soaring food prices have played a major role in pushing overall inflation to the level it's at right now, a four-decade high. Meanwhile, a recent study has found that 61% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, and the burden of higher food and gas prices is pushing an awful lot of family budgets to the limit. So, buy this, not that. And sometimes there's dietary issues involved, too. Sometimes we don't have a lot of choice. But on top of all of this, Americans are piling up credit card debt. They're all struggling to keep up with the high cost of living. Yes, sir. U.S. household debt surpassed $16 trillion for the first time ever during the second quarter of this year. But even as borrowing costs surged, the New York Fed said credit card balances increased by $46 billion last quarter alone. And over the past year, credit card debt has jumped by $100 billion. That's 13%, the biggest percentage increase in over 20 years. Of course, credit cards typically charge high interest rates when the balances aren't fully paid off, making this a really expensive form of debt. Excuse me, I upset my credit card companies because I didn't even wait for the bill to come in. I pay the damn debt off every single month. And I have not been charged a bit of interest in like 2 or 3 years, and it ticks them off. But they figure that eventually we'll catch up with this guy. We'll get him. He'll have to borrow some money and do some stuff. I'm telling you something. What we're living through is insane. Oh, by the way, how's your credit score doing? You heard what happened with Equifax, right? Credit giant Equifax sent lenders incorrect credit scores for millions of consumers this spring. That's a technology snafu with major real world import. In certain cases, the errors were significant enough. The differential was at least 25 points for about 300,000 customers. These are some would-be borrowers. They have wrongfully denied credit. You know, all of a sudden it makes your credit rating crappy, snappy. And it ain't doing any good. And all this happy nonsense. And you can't get a mortgage. You can't get a car loan. And you can't get an update in your credit card. And you better have a check when you go into Costco because they won't take your card anymore. Now, they take my card because it's associated with Kettle Moraine, which is Kettle Moraine is the one that signed up with the account with Costco. I don't know what in the living world that is going to change. I don't know what's going to make a difference. Getting Joey and Kamanawanaswala out of here is going to be real good as far as I'm concerned. We got to send these two dirtbags and all their stinking cronies packing. Packing. I took a look. Take a look at some market reports today. Rhodium is just sitting here flat at $13,600 an ounce. I don't think it's moved for a couple of weeks. Palladium is down a couple of bucks today at $21.44 an ounce. Platinum is up a dollar. A whole whopping dollar at $9.33. Yeah, my goodness, for the first time in a long time, they're over half what an ounce of gold is worth. Where silver and gold is setting at? Well, let's take a look, but let's not take a look at my regular chart. Let's take a look at one that's more accurate. Accuracy is a cool thing. Silver's currently sitting at $20.56 an ounce. Don't try to buy it at that. We'll talk about that shortly. Oops, 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 oops. And gold currently sitting at a little bit under $1,800 an ounce. Dropped off a couple of bucks here at $1,796.26. Interesting. A slow month. And when I say a slow month, we're talking about going all the way back to about mid last month. Got a call today from a gentleman who've never called from before. Heard our ad on RBN. Decided to give me a call, gave him several options that are options I'd recommended to another client. And he said, I think I'll take five of these, blah, 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 blah. And we got him locked in. And, you know, it's all important. And helps support the network. But gets the man some goods in his hands. And that's exceedingly important. We're going to go to a break in a moment, but it's not a commercial break. We're going to go to a break with a piece of music. It's a band that I discovered here about a month and a half ago. I made reference to them on the air. And the name of the group is Gone West. Interestingly enough, they broke up. I think the two main singers broke up. And I think in a lot of cases what their music is about. But very, very talented, a very good, good group of people. I have found a lot of their stuff on YouTube, but I miss them as live performers. Very, very good people. So that's what we're going to go to whenever you're ready. Be back.
I want the end to be easier than the start. thought they'd have shattered apart. I wanna say goodbye and disappear. Don't wanna watch if you break down into tears. Don't try to make me stay, cause I ain't gonna change my mind.
Take a good look at the pain in my face before you walk away. Memorize all the hurt in my eyes, not what I say. I'm gonna give you what you wanted, though my heart will never stop. Tell you that I'm fine even though I'm not. You're gonna know for the rest of your life, this is true. I'm never getting over you. I'm never getting over you.
We'll move on and you'll find somebody new. With everything I can ever be for you. It's hard to hear, but time is a broken heart's best friend. And there's a morning waiting for you with a no. What could have been, what could have been.
Take a good look at the pain in my face before you walk away. Memorize all the hurt in my eyes, not what I say. I'm gonna give you what you wanted, though my heart will never stop. Tell you that I'm fine even though I'm not. You're gonna know for the rest of your life, this is true. I'm never getting over you. I'm never getting over you. I can't stop you from leaving, and you can't stop me from loving you. So take a good look at the pain before you walk away. Memorize all this hurt, not what I say. I'm gonna give you what you wanted, though my heart will never stop. Tell you that I'm fine even though I'm not. You're gonna know for the rest of your life, this is true. I'm never getting over you. I'm never getting over you. I'm never getting over you.
A sad song, no doubt.
I'm never getting over you.
Quite amazed at the work that I've seen some live performances of theirs in studios. Watched a good number of videos. And their voices are just so calming, even with given the subject matter that they're dealing with. Gone West. If you're of interest, you can look them up on YouTube. There is quite a bit there. Enjoy it. Welcome back. Main subject matter for this last 15, 20 minutes or so deals with rural America. Now, I know a lot of you don't live in rural America. Rural America is being slammed by inflation. People are being forced to use 91% of their income just to get by. Throughout big cities, inflation is impacting the residents heavily, but this new study has found out it's even worse throughout the areas where I grew up as a kid. Rural households are more vulnerable to inflation. In 2020, rural household post-tax income stood at $58,012. About 82% of rural incomes went toward expenses, leaving barely $10,600 in discretionary income for savings, unanticipated expenses. But by 2022, this year, Expenses rose by 18.5% overall. Earnings were not able to keep pace with inflation, rising by only 6.1%. And the net effect cut rural discretionary incomes by 49.1% between June of 2020 and June of this year. And that reduced the cushion to only $5,426. You can't do much with that little money. Because expenses now consume 91% of rural take-home pay. And those of you living in rural America have experienced extreme price hikes that are higher than those seen by folks living in the cities. Urban households were less affected by inflation, having higher post-tax incomes of $76,411. More discretionary income of $16,400. That was in 2020. But over the past 2 years, expenses rose more slowly at 14.5%. Earnings for urban workers rose by 8.6%. Now, that cut their discretionary income by only 13.1%, but still leaving them a cushion of 14.2. Now, 14.2 is kind of interesting. Not a heck of a lot more than what rural had. But it's a lot more than what rural has today, huh? So now to go along with all this inflationary nonsense, income levels for rural areas have dropped far more than those around urban areas. Rural discretionary incomes dropped by 8.7% in 2021. But by 2022, the inflation cut this income cushion by over 40%. Urban families actually saw discretionary incomes rise by 1%, but they fell by 13.9% the following year. And these reports also look into how different regions of America have dealt with the insanely soaring inflation. Oh, man, I went out to grab a quick drink last night and drove by my favorite Circle Jerk K. And son of a gun, man, they got gas prices down to $4.26 a gallon. Are you out of your freaking minds? It's no different than this stupid law that they passed in the House the other day. They want to give massive tax credits to people who buy electric cars. They're doing all they can to drive the rest of us into the ground. I don't give a damn. I'm not buying a freaking electric car. Hey, I'll sell a freaking car for more than I paid for it right now. And I'll sit home. My wife can come home from work, take her car, which I don't like driving, and I'll run out and go to the bank and post office, do whatever I got to do. Enough is enough. Now, the northeastern U.S. has got slower price gains of only 7.6%. But on the other side of the country, Pacific Coast states also have below average inflation at 8.3%. Surprising given both areas contain some of the nation's largest cities. Example, prices in the New York City metro area only rose 6.7%. In California, Kate, the cost of living in the San Francisco metro rose by only 6.8%. L.A. prices rose a little bit faster at 8.6%, but that's because they can milk more money out of the illegals that are coming in to trim all the palm trees for cash and not pay taxes on it. You think I'm joking, don't you? I'm not. Not one bit. Those people charging money to do your frickin' palm trees and your other landscaping, etc., you pay them cash? You think they pay taxes on that? Who's zooming who, baby? Inflation is hitting people hard in parts of the southern U.S., and particularly the west, south, central states, Texas, Louisiana. Prices jumped by almost 11%. Inflation is also a problem in the Mountain West, Arizona, Montana, southeastern states along the Atlantic from Virginia down to Florida. Inflation in Atlanta, Miami, and Houston are all near or over 11% now. price gains in the Chicago metro area are likely driving inflation in the Great Lakes states, but who cares? They got that whirly. They got that whirly mayor in Chicago. You know, the person of the darker persuasion, lesbian friends mentality. Oh, I know you may not like hearing that, but it's reality. It's insane what's going on, people. Absolutely insane what's going on. How are we supposed to all survive in this crap? I don't think they care. I don't think they want us to survive by any stretch of the imagination. Interesting article today. Gold popped to a four-week high today on friendlier charts. I don't care. There's reasons I don't care about it. Let me see if I can find this very quickly. Oh, you're cute. You're an economic advisor? You're a broadcaster type thing? Ooh, she's too good looking for that. Sorry about that. Oh, excuse me. What am I looking for here? There's something I wanted to open. Oh, here it is. Dummy. You're a dummy. Where is it? Here we go. That's some interesting. I had a phone call late last week from a gentleman I've not heard from in 2 years. 2 years ago tomorrow, to be exact. And it's quite interesting. He had come to me several years ago, and made a fairly large purchase for his family trust. And then he made a smaller purchase for himself. And he came to me, and he's got X number of bucks he wants to work with. And we started looking at some options, going back and forth. Specifically gold we're looking at. And I pulled out about 8 or 9 different options that are available, did some pricing on it, found the ones that were going to offer the most amount for the least amount of money. And he kept going back to one thing in particular. And when he and I had done this transaction 2 years ago, or these two transactions, we had acquired some Swiss 20-franc Helvetias. We've talked about Swiss. The Swiss are almost always uncirculated. They're not manipulated, beat-up coins, but they are part of that group of 5 or 6 or 7 various different coins that were minted in Europe. They were all minted in different countries. They were all struck of coins of the same size, weight, and purity. Italian, Greek, Swiss, French, several other countries that I just all of a sudden momentarily blanking on. Pieces that come in at roughly a fifth of an ounce of gold weight. So I had to do some digging with him to find out what we had access to, and I'll share with you in a couple minutes the four options that we basically landed on that we're going to be focusing on. He may do a mix, he may go for this and that, and whatever, but we'll share with you in just a moment what that is. I wanted to try to clarify something. People, we've talked about intensely that when you focus on what spot is, spot gold, and you wonder why you can't buy it at that. I mean, just a couple of moments ago, I gave you a figure of what spot is right now. I can't remember, so I'm going to have to open it back up again. Hold on. I got too many things going on, too many things in front of me. Spot gold currently at $1,796.07. Okay. Why can't you buy gold at $1,796.07? Well, you can. If you want to call your Wall Street broker and tell him you want to buy a contract. You know what a contract is? Go in there and tell him you want 1,000 or 10,000 ounces of gold, and you're going to be able to buy it at $1,796.06, theoretically, okay? But you're never going to get delivery of it. All you own is a paper note. That's not the same thing as owning the real thing. Well, Bennett, you're a much nicer guy. You're going to be more honest than the stockbrokers. Why can't I call you and buy gold for that $1,700 and some odd dollars an ounce? Well, explain why. When you buy gold bullion, the gold spot price is the base price of gold in its unfabricated form. Now, this is important because it affects your bottom line. Now, when you're buying 1 ounce gold bars, the higher the spot price, the higher premium you're paying for it. When you buy gold bars and other precious metals, the premium price includes the cost of fabrication, distribution, minor dealer fees, and believe me, they're minor. Sometimes maybe numismatic or collector's value, but I don't deal with that side of things. When you're buying gold bars, you're typically paying a slightly higher premium for smaller bars, but often those smaller bullion products are popular with people who have a tight budget. One of these particular products has become an absolute favorite of mine. In fact, this manufacturer, this mint, Valcambi, in Switzerland, has become so bloody amazing, it's unreal. And it's one of the products I do happen to have available today. These are what we refer to as the 10 by 1/10. This is roughly the size of a business card, encased in plastic, which you can open and get to, is 1 ounce of gold. 1 ounce of 999.9% gold, 999.9 fine. This 1 ounce gold bar can be broken into 1/10 ounce mini bars. When I say broken, they're not going to leave dust all over the place. They're not going to break and leave little fibers and little bits of gold all over the counter when you're doing it. Each one of these things is stamped. They've got their purity on it. It's got the name of the manufacturer. It's got the weight on it. Flip it around, you get to see the serial number, all that good stuff. That's kind of cool. Now, for poops and giggles, and keep in mind, spot gold right now is about $1,796. Let's go take a look at something. I should have come here a little bit better prepared, but that's what I do. I don't give a rip, okay? Let's go take a look. Now remember, these things break into 1/10 ounce pieces, right? Okay? Well, what happens if I want to be some of them 1/10 ounce merg gold pieces? Well, let's go take a look and see. We can go over here, we can get over here, we can get there. Alert me, we don't have any, we don't have any, we don't have any, we don't have any. Well, it's that time of the year, it's past halfway in the year, you can't necessarily get 1/10 ounce gold American Eagles. They're somewhat limited supply. Oh, that's right, it doesn't help. The U.S. Mint is cut back on what they're manufacturing right now, isn't it? Yes. So let's take a look. Remember different things we can do. We can buy for a range there, we can buy a range there. Let's just say we wanted to buy 10 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagles. Okay, well, let's see. If I go here, $285.29. times 10 comes out to $2,852.90. That's an ounce of gold. You're paying quite a premium for able to get 10 one-tenth ounce pieces. Well, how about we go get this little Valcombi instead? It's a one-ounce piece. It breaks into 10 one-tenth ounce pieces. So now you're getting 10 one-tenth ounce pieces of gold holding your hand. But not for $2,852. Let's try $1,980. That is a far finer price. That's one of the reasons you don't hear me pushing 1/10 ounce American gold eagles. They're grossly overpriced. My God, $2,852 for 10 of those things versus the Valcombi. We're getting the same exact amount of gold. And we're saving $873. That's a real tough one to figure out, isn't it? A couple of other options if you're interested in pure 1 ounce. Right now, just the 1 ounce internationally minted gold coins, a Canadian maple leaf, and a South African Krugerrand. I can pull together 1 ounce Canadian maple leaves right now for approximately $1,905. It's $1,905 each. The South African Krugerrands, a little bit more at $1,920. Remember we talked about the Swiss 20 franc pieces a little bit earlier? A couple of months ago, I came on the air talking about the French 20 franc lucky angels. And we're not going to have enough time to share the whole story with you. But I've got access. What's that? I'm going to look at that later. I got more stuff coming in right now. It's unbelievable. I can't even find that darn thing. I got too much stuff popped up here. Where'd this thing go? It just disappears on me. Nah, I don't know where it went. Is that it? No, that's not it. Nope, it's all disappeared on me. That just upsets living daylights out of me. How in the world did this happen? Ah, here we go. Okay. French 20 franc lucky angels. Minted from 1871 to 1898. You're looking at $381 for 5 coins. That's each. Okay? Actually, technically, a 5-pack is $1,905. You're looking at buying a roll of 40 of them. Your cost comes to $15,240. I've got the full story here on the Lucky French Angels. I'm going to try to get it posted up on the website a little bit later today. It is an interesting option, all part of that group that is recognized. You can reach me, text if you can, or email me. Email at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. You can find the web, email address on the Sierra Madre Precious Metals website. You can also get a hold of me, 602-799-8214, by text, if possible. If you don't have a phone where you can text, call and leave a message. I'll get back to you. Maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow. Anyway, I guess we're out of time. Kind of a mellow program. A lot of stuff, a lot of good information we put out here. Hope it's been helpful to you. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow. Part one of at least a special two-part cancer program. Something else has come to my benefit that I'm going to share with you. Take care of yourselves, and we'll see you tomorrow. Good night. And most of us are not sure
if we have it too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. To what she can. And charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year, yeah. This is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chances, say. I sang it 20 years and a day, there's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to woe, there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Drastic measures are needed. The current national debt is almost $31 trillion. Let's give that some perspective. If our government suddenly managed to pass the balanced budget and paid $1 billion a year on the national debt, it would take over 30,000 years to pay off the debt. The federal government revenue is almost $4.5 trillion. $2.5 trillion, or 55%, goes to Medicare and Social Security, leaving $2 trillion for everything else. Except reality is that we add $1.5 trillion to the debt every year. You don't need to be an economic genius to figure out that spending like this cannot last forever. These little deficit reductions just aren't sufficient. Massive financial accountability is needed. Literally trillions of dollars need to be cut from the federal budget. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Cephas Pashem Parabellum.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.